today and power crop performance next season. Visit CropFertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In the U.S., some 3,000 North Korean troops have amassed in Russia. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says if North Korean troops move into Ukraine, they will be fair game for Ukraine to defend itself.
If North Korean soldiers do enter into combat, this development would demonstrate Russia's growing desperation in its war against Ukraine. Russia is suffering extraordinary casualties on the battlefield every single day. But President Putin appears intent on continuing this war.
Early voting underway in Georgia, shattering records. State Secretary Brad Raffensperger on ballots cast so far.
With just under 2 weeks until the election, an astounding 26.8% of all active voters have already participated.
Former President Trump in Georgia today. Vice President Kamala Harris holds a town hall in Pennsylvania. McDonald's pausing sales of Quarter Pounder burgers in states where E. coli cases have been confirmed. The company believes sliced onions are tainted. This is ABC News. A warning to parents of young children. The CDC reporting cases of pediatric pneumonia are on the rise. The percentage of diagnoses among kids from late March to early October showed an increase from 1% to 7.2% among children 2 to 4 years old. The red-hot housing market significantly cooling off.
Sales of previously owned homes in the U.S. slowed last month to the weakest annual pace in nearly 14 years. And that's even though mortgage rates have been going down and inventories of homes for sale have been going up. Sales were down 3.5% compared to last September, the slowest mark since October of 2010, following the housing bubble crash. Home prices keep rising. National median price for an existing home these days, $404,500. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Target slashing prices, it says, on more than 2,000 items ahead of the holidays. Those cuts will affect food, drinks, and what are described as items to prep for the holidays. Michelle Franz.
I'm Tiffany, founder of Harlem Pilates. When I couldn't find Pilates in my neighborhood, I started a studio from my studio apartment. Chase Inc. helped me grow from one Pilates studio to three. Because when you start small, you're going to need some big help.
With the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card, you can earn up to 5% cash back on business essentials, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for Business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor.
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Early in-person voting is underway in Wisconsin. Elections Inspector Brooke Soltwet was at Madison's downtown Central Library Tuesday.
I think it's really important that people around the state understand how the voting process works and that they feel confident that it's going to be safe and it's going to be secure and that they're not going to have their vote taken away because of anything.
Soldvet says there was some glitches with the printer that produces labels for absentee ballot envelopes.
You know, the first day of the first election in several months, sometimes that's a little slower. So people from the clerk's office come down and they help us out.
Check with your local clerk for early voting locations in your area. Former President Barack Obama campaigns in Wisconsin on behalf of Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris.
We do not need a president who will make problems worse just to make his politics better. So, Wisconsin, we do not need to see what an older, loonier Donald Trump looks like with no guardrails. America's ready to turn the page. We are ready for a better story, Wisconsin. We are ready for a President Kamala Harris.
Obama was joined by Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz during Tuesday's rally in Madison. A Milwaukee man accused of a fatal shooting at a youth flag football game was in court Monday. 30-year-old Gavino Avalos Morales is charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the death of 47-year-old Rayshawn Barnes earlier this month. A criminal complaint says Barnes was walking to his car to get a water bottle when he passed a group of men who began to fight. Avalos Morales was a part of that group when he allegedly pointed a gun in Barnes' direction and shot him in the abdomen. Barnes later died at a hospital. Bond for Avalos Morales was set at $250,000. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A feisty northwest wind is whipping our high temperatures today down to just the mid-50s. With more and more sunshine this afternoon and clear skies tonight, we crash chilly. Falling into the mid-30s, it'll be a crisp start to the day. But under sunny skies, highs reach the mid-60s and rain rolls in by night. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 53 degrees.
It was a scattered day in the commodity world, but with equities trading sharply lower, the ag commodities decided to stick fairly close to unchanged throughout the session. Wheat was mixed, meal and oil were lower, beans and corn were higher, cotton was higher, cattle were lower, and lean hog futures traded to a new contract high.
Live from the summit of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Darren Fry from Water Street Solutions. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, and here it is, the middle of the week already. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
Who would have thunk
it?
Before I forget to jump in on this, Dow's off like 440 points right now.
Yeah,
okay. S&P 500 is down like 65. It's all about 1% lower. Yeah, NASDAQ a little bit more than that. 1.85% lower in the NASDAQ. So the decline in the equities led by the technologies, it's been under pressure like all day, the equity trade has. And I think it left the commodity world just kind of scratching its head, wondering what direction to go. So,
yeah.
How's things going, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. I think it's all right.
Yeah.
A lot to do today. Right after the show, I've got another exciting edition of Grow Getters podcast to film.
Nice.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Excellent. Excellent.
A lot of irons in the fire today, brother.
Yeah, good. All you cattlemen out there, you should probably be sending me a thank you note this week.
Oh.
Okay? Yeah, because I'm kind of not completely on my own for supper, but for the most part, I am on my own for supper this week. Mrs. Flory has some responsibilities that she needs to take care of, and beef has already been a prominent feature on my plate, and it's going to continue that way through the rest of the week.
Yeah. I went the other way yesterday. I had a pork schnitzel salad that I made here at home. Ah, that makes you think, doesn't it? A pork schnitzel salad. Yeah, pork it's delicious.
So,
or as they would say in the German,
sandwich.
Yeah. Sandwich.
What it was a breaded tenderloin sandwich with lettuce, tomato, onion, and pickles on it. Is that a schnitzel sandwich is?
I guess you could compare it to that, yeah. No, there was no bun involved, though. It was a true salad. It was a true salad. But that's a good idea.
Well, there you go. Roger's already in with the first thank you. You're welcome, Roger. I appreciate that. All right, let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Chip, the wheat complex was mixed with SRW slightly higher and HRW and spring wheat slightly mixed. It was a mixed day around the commodity world with the U.S. dollar index trading solidly higher and back at the level seen the middle of the summer. The rally in the U.S. dollar from the late September low has been a headwind for the wheat market. Mm-hmm. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower, fell to within a half cent of support at yesterday's low, and then prices recovered to close high range and above the opening range. December HRW wheat futures were a penny lower at 585.5. December soft red wheat up 2.5 cents to 578.5. And it looks like we got spring wheat down a penny, 615.5. Chip?
Yeah, that's, it was kind of a weird day. I thought for sure with the way that the dollar was rallying today that we would see this wheat market under a little bit more pressure, but the wheat market powered through it.
All right. Well, USDA this morning announced the sale of 100,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. It was the sixth consecutive market day with a daily export sale. Ethanol production in the weekend at October 18 averaged 1.081 million barrels per day. That's up 39,000 from the previous week and 41,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks declined 52,000 barrels to 22.2 million. Good demand helped December corn close higher for a third time this week. December futures touched resistance at 420 before posting a high range close. December corn futures were 2.5 cents higher at 419. March corn up 2.75, 432. July corn futures closed at 443.75, up 3 cents on the day, Chip.
Good ethanol report there. The average daily production up, stocks down very slightly, but still lower. That's a good combination for the ethanol numbers.
Well, it was a curious combination of price action in the soy complex. Both soybean meal and bean oil were lower, with bean prices modestly higher. Bean oil sat back a bit from yesterday's strong gains, and product spreaders are still long oil and short bean meal. USDA this morning announced the sale of 130,000 metric tons of 24-25 soybeans for delivery to China and the sale of 259,000 metric tons to unknown destinations. Pressure on bean product prices was driven by the forecast for rain in Brazil and a slightly wetter outlook for Argentina. November soybeans also closed higher for a third time this week. Front month beans got to within a quarter of 1 cent of $10 before setting back slightly to a high range close. November beans all told 5.75 cents higher today, 997.5. Jan beans up 4.5, 10.05. March beans closed at 10.15.75. That's up 3.25 cents, Chip.
December soybean meal down $2.70 a ton to 3.15. And December bean oil down 30 points, 43.39.
Well, December cotton today was 43 points higher at 72.51. Quickly, your livestock closes. Dease fat cattle 25 cents lower, 187.87.5. Novi feeders down 170 to 247.22.5, and December lean hogs $1.05 higher, 80.17.5, Chip.
All right, thank you very much. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, how you doing, man?
What's up? What's up, fellas?
Well,
have you noticed that the 10-year notes a month ago today were 3.4, and today they're 4.3, 25% increase in interest rates since the Fed did us a favor and cut the rate.
Yeah, those bonds and the notes keep going down, and I just explain it to us again one more time. Why?
Well, because the Fed does not work for the public. The Fed works with the banks. They're a private corporation, supposedly, that does for the banks, and that is the lending rate that banks get to borrow from The banks then lend out to you and me and to the farmers and producers, and they make a spread. And the spread is getting wider and wider, so the banks are making more money. We're paying more juice, and, of course, it is creating higher inflation once again. So, yeah. Once again, we've got it. If you ever saw the movie Lethal Weapon 2, they got you in the drive-thru, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Hey, is this taking away the incentive for the Fed to lower rates at the next FOMC?
I think they realize they made a huge mistake by cutting the first time, because inflation is spiraling out of control once again, and prices are going up once again, and that is not what they're looking for.
Okay, equities lower today. The commodities really didn't want to get going. I know that you're looking for that combination, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, some of the commodities, coffee, sugar, cocoa, cotton, all higher today. Grains came back a little bit after being a little bit lower. They looked like they made a base. I said last week, it looks like they had made or held a bottom. I think the same trader exists, buy grains, sell cattle, buy hogs.
Well, it worked today in the livestock trade. The Bubba trade worked with cattle lower and hogs higher. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
All right, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions, is up next here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter?
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
I think we call those what-if scenarios, Davis.
Is that what it is? What-ifs?
I think so, yeah.
You're right on the what-ifs.
Yep. All the time. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis, and glad that you are with us here on Wednesday afternoon. Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions, is our – what do you got?
Well, we got cut just a little bit short, and I think you might want to talk with Darren Fry about some of this stuff. Let me just read you my copy from the livestock, so we'll get through this really quick. Yeah. On the cattle's heavyweight choice graded box of beef prices, just 8 cents higher this morning, but select graded beef surged $1.37. Movement was modest at 67 loads. Deese live cattle traded to the highest level since July 29, but then dropped on profit taking to post a low range close. That Deese live cattle contract 25 cents lower, 187.87 and a half. Novi feeders down $1.70 to 247.22 and a half. And lean hog futures have broken out to the upside, Chip, with December lean hogs finally clearing resistance at that April 8 high to post a new contract high today. Deese hogs $1.05 higher, 87.17 and a half. There you go, buddy.
Cool. Thank you very much, Davis. All right, let's bring him in now. Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions. How you doing, Darren?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on, Chip.
You bet. Glad that you are here, man. We'll talk a little bit about that livestock trade in a bit. But first, I'm curious, what are you hearing from guys across the country when they're getting their scale tickets in their hands as far as yields go?
Yeah, it's all over the board. I mean, a lot of record yields. Had people tell me that, you know, they're beating their total farm average or their best ever by 30, 40 bushel on corn. I've had some of those. I've had guys that are a little disappointed in their corn as they've gotten into the back, let's say half. So not many of those. I think this corn yield's big, and I don't know if the government's got it about right or they got to go up some more, but yields are really solid. Soybeans seem to be a little bit more variable depending on who got maybe a later rain or when the planting date was. But again, just like corn, record yields, best ever, can't believe it, to I'm a little disappointed. I had kind of my four-year average, 2 bushel under my record or 5 bushel under my record, and it just goes back, I think, to planting dates and the type of weather they received in those geographic zones where their farms were. And so highly variable, but a big crop. The question is, does it get bigger in subsequent reports or do they have it about right?
Okay. All right. On both corn and soybeans, you've only given me two of the three options that are possible on yield movement, and that is steady or higher. Have you ruled out the idea of pulling back even just a bit on corn and soybean yields?
I could see the yields pulling back some. I mean, obviously, we've seen those years where from October to January, you could lose 2 or 3 bushel in corn or a bushel, bushel and a half in beans. I haven't seen the anecdotal information that maybe would support that or justify that. But, you know, that's a minor tweak. And could it happen? Yeah. But I don't think the yield on corn would be less than 181. I don't think it would be more than 184 and a half. So the government at 183.8 is kind of in that ballpark. Soybeans, I would say, would have the most room to come down just because I've heard more disappointment around, hey, my May beans were not as good as my April beans. It was like every week we planted later was another 5 to 7 bushel off our bean yield. So the early beans were, you know, 85, 90 in places. And then, of course, we drop into the 70s and even heard some high 50s, low 60s in some of those later planted beans. So those have probably more potential to come down, you know, a bushel into January than probably the corn does, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. The bean, let's focus on the bean yield and the supply side of the soybean balance sheet here for just a bit. Is there enough potential movement there on the supply side to move the needle on the carryover estimates?
No.
Yeah.
No, we're going to have a big carry out. And, you know, your big yield that you came out with on Pro Farmer Tour, you were 1-2 inch rain away from that. It's just that it got so dry, and the dryness started about a week before you took your tour, maybe a week and a half even. And it just never rained, and it never rained in a very large area. So, you know, a guy catches 1 inch of rain, another inch of rain, or 1-2 inch rain. You're talking about, you know, the top clusters in those beans completely filling out, larger beans in the pod, and you're talking, hey, if we end up with a 52, 53, you know, bushel yield like the government's got us at 53.1, if we really end up with that, it would have been 55, 55 and a half probably with one good rain. So big difference there. But I don't think coming down a bushel is going to matter too much, even if we do. That's still going to give us a carry out around 470, too much with a huge South American crop coming.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that South American crop in just a bit. First, the demand side of this of the bean market feels like it's coming around. It or has come around. I'm not exactly sure how to say it, Darren, but it feels a whole lot better today than it did a month ago.
Yeah, it really does. We are seeing more interest from China, but China has been booking a lot more Brazilian beans than U.S. beans. We've seen other countries come here. Those exports to other countries other than China are way up for us. But we really need to see China book some more of these beans. They have to get between now and January. If you look at what they've been doing out in the February-May timeframe, there's been a lot of beans booked out there from Brazil. In fact, I got them at about 17 million metric tons have been booked in that window. And typically, like last year, they had 10 this time of year for Feb through May. And on average, it's only 6. So they're front loading this thing and they're getting beans secured. Their crushing margins are real good right now, but they are still preferring Brazilian beans over ours. And I don't know if that's just the geopolitical stresses or what that really is all about. But certainly we don't have the best relationship and they're certainly preferring Brazil over us. And I'd like to see that be different if we're going to really get rid of a bunch of these beans and get rid of our oversupply.
It doesn't sound to me like you think the odds of getting rid of a whole of a bunch of these beans is in the cards. So what, get used to this 500 million bushel plus carryover projection on beans?
Yeah, we might have to, especially if we don't see a weather problem in South America. You know, I have my balance sheet. I'm running 570 is what I'm running. I'm not near as bearish as some people. A lot of people are 650. I have my exports at 1775. The government's at 1850. Hey, if we do what the USDA says, then I'm going to pull my, you know, I'm going to pull my ending stocks down to about 500. But, you know, a lot of people are at 650, 675 because they think that the exports are overstated by at least 100, if not 150 million from the USDA. A lot of people don't think we'll make last year's number at 1695. So time will tell, but I'm not quite as bearish as those folks, but there's still a lot of beans to deal with. And it's going to come down to what South America does. If they have 165, 170 million metric ton crop, you know, out of Brazil, and obviously Argentina planted more beans because leafhopper problems in corn. Yeah. We're going to get, you know, smoked here and overrun with too many beans in the world, I think.
Okay. Does $10 beans with that outlook make sense to you right now?
Well, I think we'll go lower. I mean, I don't think we'll go lower until we know what South America has. That's probably into the month of December as we move and roll the calendar forward to 2025 in January. If we have a good crop coming, then I think that's when beans try to, you know, take a shot at new lows. And I have some targets down in the high eights, low nines. And I think that's where beans will try to go into, you know, our late winter, early spring, if South America confirms a big crop. If they don't, we're going to go more toward 11. But until then, I think we're in a trading range. I think, you know, 975 to 1030, 1040 is kind of the trading range. The only thing I don't know is the farmers are well advanced in bean harvest. They're going to get these beans done the next week, 10 days, everything's in the bin. They've either sold what they wanted to sell or they've binned what they don't want to sell. Mm-hmm. And once they're in the bin, I don't think 1030, 1040 is going to get them out of the bin. So we might have a chance of getting up in that 1080, $11 area just because we have good demand until late December or even late January. And maybe we have to get those beans pried out of the farmer's hands that win the bin. So that's probably the bright spot. But after that, you know, I don't know what you're going to do to take beans higher if nothing's wrong in South America.
Okay. All right. Good summary. Right there. That's helpful, big time. It's not all that you know, encouraging as we look out, but nonetheless, good summary there. We're talking with Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions. Darren, when we come back, I want to run down the demand situation on corn, and talk a little bit more about what is going on in this, this corn market. And then it's going to be time to talk some more specific strategies, I guess, what kind of marketing plans you like on the 24 and maybe even the 25 crop, corn and beans. We'll do that next. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For December, hard red winter wheat futures were a penny lower at 585 and a half. December soft red wheat up 2.5 cents to 578 and one half. December corn futures were 2.5 cents higher today at 419. March corn up 2.75 cents to 432. November soybean futures 5.75 cents higher today at 997 and one half. January beans up 4.5 cents to 1005. December cotton today 43 points higher at 72.51. On your livestock's December fat cattle 25 cents lower 187.87 and one half. November feeders down 170 to 247.22 and a half. December lean hogs were $1.05 higher at 80.17 and one half. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Hey guys, it's me.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at WisconsinCU.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A feisty northwest wind is whipping our high temperatures today down to just the mid-50s. With more and more sunshine this afternoon and clear skies tonight, we crash chilly. Falling into the mid-30s, it'll be a crisp start to the day. But under sunny skies, highs reach the mid-60s and rain rolls in by night. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 53 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions, is our guest analyst today. And, Darren, during the break, I wonder what Darren thinks the role of the wheat market is in this grain trade right now. Is it a follower, a leader, support, an anchor? What is the role of wheat?
Well, typically, wheat's going to be our leader, right? It's the first one to really run high when, like, Russia came into Ukraine. Other grains followed that. It was the first one to top out. Other grains followed it down. But we just can't seem to get it going. You know, there's been an overhang and or a hangover, I should say, in Black Sea area. Now, I know Russia's put their minimum FOB price up at 250 a metric ton. And, hey, the wheat crop was lower in the EU, lower in the Black Sea. Obviously had a very good wheat crop here in the U.S. But it seems like that market just is very choppy. Even though India seems to have very high cash prices and they need to import, they're not. And there's some bullish things going on, but it hasn't yet moved. And so I think it's more of a follower right now than the leader. And it goes up when corn and beans go up, and then it kind of falls down again when they have a neutral or slightly down day. And so yep. I'm kind of disappointed in wheat. I do think that we can have some maybe ups in it as we get further into the winter. But we'll have to see if that is, in fact, the case. But right now, it's just chop city. I got support on Chicago December wheat in that 550, 560 area. It's kind of where you need to hold to launch from. But corn and soybeans seem to be doing better than wheat right now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good summary. Talk to me about corn demand. I think today was the sixth consecutive business day with a daily export sales announcement for corn. That's a nice little string.
It is. Corn demand is really solid. It's better than most people expected. It continues to prove to be. And even today with ethanol grind, big ethanol grind, I think the government at 5.45 might be a little bit low when we're all said and done. I'm in that 5.5 area for ethanol grind for how much we're going to use in ethanol. And then, you know, exports are solid. If you look at just what we know have been, you know, booked or committed to, we're around 910 million bushels in this marking year. That's up 32% from last year. And so a lot more interest because Ukraine had a smaller crop. Safrina, South America, total crop was not as big as the year prior. And we've just drawn down some of those exporter stocks that compete against us. So that's put us front and center for the export market. And I really like what I'm seeing. And I think we'll have strong exports all the way out through April, May. So I think we're the only game in town, so to speak. And so I would expect that to continue.
Yeah. Okay. Good comments on ethanol. And it immediately got me thinking about, geez, we need to check again and see if there's any updates on the 45Z details out there. How important is that to this corn market?
Well, I think it'd be pretty supportive. I mean, if you can get some of these things approved that just uses more corn and we get more demand for it, it's going to help our balance sheet. You know, corn does not have the bloated balance sheet that soybeans do. In fact, if you throw a 182 in for a final yield and you keep the demand about where the USDA is, or you up at maybe 25, 30 in ethanol, 50 in exports, you're going to be down in that 1.7, 1.75 range. And that doesn't justify 350 corn. That's more, you know, 420, 460 corn. And so that's very positive given the amount of bushels we're harvesting this year. And that works for most farmers because of how big yields have been. And we need to get some help when it comes to the total revenue on the farm. Things are quite different this year, as you know, from the last couple of years.
Yep. Yeah. You make a great point there, Darren, because even a tweak on the yield side of things, on the supply side of the balance sheet, it can move the needle on corn. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't justify going down to new lows, which I think beans could do. And that is the caveat for beans, too. If corn is moving up and we ever get wheat to get off its laurels and move up too, then that means that beans might not go as deep, even though they have more bearishness in their balance sheet. Mm-hmm. But somebody's got a lead. And right now, I think corn could be the leader in the clubhouse, given what I keep seeing weekly on demand. And the charts look pretty constructive. There's a really stiff zone of resistance here at 415 to 420 in Dees corn. And we closed right against the upper boundary of it today. We got to get through that. Don't get me wrong. And we haven't gotten through it yet. But if we start, you know, plugging into the 430 area, I think corn's got a shot at running to 475 here in the next month or two.
Okay. All right. Let's talk the structure of the markets. The bull spreads were working in the bean market again today. A half-cent correction in the bull spreads, Dees July in corn today. But for the most part, the bull spread has been working in corn. What is that? What's that spread? That spread structure telling you?
Well, we got a lot of export demand, and you know somebody is out of position here, especially in the soybean side of things. I could see that November easily going over Jan here before we get to even first notice day. I mean, we're not that far away now. We're sniffing at 7-8 cents away. And those spreads can move 3, 4, 5, 6 cents in a day if they want to. And so you'll see what the commercial has to do here. But I think we got a situation in beans where the farmer isn't selling enough. We've seen FOB and SIF values at the Gulf go higher. And so we're just not meeting, the supply is not meeting the quantity it needs to take care of the demand. And that's why you're seeing the spreads react. Corn is actually pretty shocking that it keeps firming up, but it is as well. And that is a really positive sign for, you know, firm to higher prices to come.
Okay. All right. What does all this mean for your preferred marketing strategy on 24 crop corn and beans? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we have a window here to sell rallies, and I don't know if that rally in soybeans will start there for 24. I don't know if we're going to just get to 10:30 and that's going to be it, or we're going to get to 10:30, back off, and then go to $10.75 or $11. Depends on South American weather. Depends on what the farmer does after these beans get locked away. But those are possible areas to sell. And I would be aggressive in those areas. The only caveat is, hey, you might have to buy something back if you sell aggressively. Yeah. And South America ends up with a problem. And we really won't know that until you get more into the end of December, middle of January. Then we'll pretty much know. But we can always re-own, but you're going to have to be aggressive on this rally. Now, moving over to corn. Same thing. I'm a little bit more friendly corn structurally on the chart, a little bit more friendly from a technical standpoint. But if we can rally up and start closing above 4.25, 4:30, then I'd hold off up into that 470 area. But I'd be very aggressive up there, because if South America doesn't have a problem and then we get that safrinha crop planted, obviously we're going to have a large pullback from those type of levels. And I still think people have to think of ranges. Ranges in corn, the upper end's 475, in my opinion. Beans, probably 1075 to 11 bucks. Anywhere up in there, guys got to take advantage of that and get strong with his sales, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. We've mentioned South America a couple of times. What are your weather guys telling you, Darren? I mean, is the weather outlook for South America, is that part of your thought process on what you need to be doing on this 24 crop?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's part of the 25 marketing too, because I think the same thing applies there. A guy's got to get, you know, a quarter, 40, 50% on the books if you get up into that zone and get puts in place or something like that, because I think you need to reward the market. I don't think we're going to have a runaway bull market unless we have a disaster in South America, and my weather guys aren't calling for that. They are calling for La Nina maybe to start to strengthen again. It's stalled out a little bit for now. But if it does strengthen, we could have some poor crops in southern Brazil, Argentina. But, hey, they just got well-watered again here this last two-week period. And there really isn't any problems in the next 45 days, let's say. We got to see what happens after that. But if there is going to be a problem, it's going to be later in the year, and it's going to be southern Brazil and Argentina. But, man, if we don't have that, then we're sitting here next spring hoping for a drought in the U.S. to get higher prices. And you never want to hope for a drought for lesser yield and higher prices, you know. That's fine if it happens to South America, but not to us, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let them deal with it.
exactly.
Okay, on the 25 crop, real quick, how aggressive might you want to get on 25 marketings at this time of the year?
Well, you know, we haven't gotten to all our financial break-evens with our client base yet, but I think they're going to be similar to 24. So we're looking in that 470, 475 range as a true break-even on an Olympic average yield on corn, $11 around there for soybeans. So you take the December 25 corn at 442 today, we get a rally, we get up there close to $5. I think you got to get pretty aggressive, at least locking in floors, selling some of that crop, you know, not getting crazy, but selling something, 25, 30, 35%, locking in floors. That might be your best opportunity if we don't have a big weather problem come 2025 in the U.S. Same thing for soybeans. You know, 25 soybeans are going to be, you know, close to $11 or 10.36 now. They might be over $11. You got to take advantage of that when you get that price, if we get that price. And I think you have to get the marketing program started pretty religiously. You got to stick to that plan because we might not have an opportunity later on. Who knows?
Right. Get those orders in place for when those price targets are hit and have the discipline to stick with the sales. Darren, great conversation, man.
Yeah, great. All right, okay. Thanks, Chip, for having me on.
You bet. We are done. Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions. Davis and I will be right back.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false 3 different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you, but they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations. So great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. Felt so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. Discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Hey. Oh.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. Nope. Nope.
It's just you and me, baby. Come on,
it's
man.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's
just you
I'm
and me.
I'm not falling for it. Nope. No. Me, fool me zero times. I am the smartest man alive. I'm sorry you had to see that, beloved listeners. AgriTalk, they're always trying to trip me up. You know, they think they got me zeroed. Nah, not today. Not today.
Baby.
I couldn't hold it in. Stackler.
Oh, I love
got
it.
Got me again.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So what do you got? Okay.
So what Darren Fry is seeing. Okay. I want to talk about Brazil and China just a little bit, but
okay.
We've talked to various people from various parts of the country here. Hey, how's harvest going? We start the conversations the same way. Mm-hmm. Some are like, "Well, yeah, we started out with such high expectations. We're just not going to get there. We're pretty close." Some of them are having excellent results. Darren Fry was reporting some outstanding yield sure. results in his neck of the woods there, Chip.
Yeah, did not rule out the possibility of pulling back a bit from the 183.8 and whatever the number is on beans. He could pull it down. From USDA's estimate that we got in October. Did not rule that out, but yeah, maybe was leaning a little bit more to the upside than we've been hearing recently on the show. Hey, man, the bottom line, Davis, even the analysts and the crop watchers that have been on the show and saying, yep, you know what? Harvested yield is different than biological yield. Yeah, we've got this issue. We've got that issue. It's not the record that we thought it was going to be, blah, blah, blah. Even those that are saying it's not the record that we thought it was going to be are still saying that it's a record on the national average corn yield. It's not like there's saying that USDA, and Darren made this point, it's not like they're saying USDA missed this thing by 5 bushel on corn and 2 bushels on beans. Nope, I don't know anybody that's saying that. So, in other words, there are some supply-side questions that remain on the 24 crop corn and beans, it's a my opinion, because it has the most potential to impact price, is the question on corn is bigger than the question on beans. Because you can take a bushel off of the bean yield, and the carryover is still going to be big enough that it's not going to make that much of a difference to the price outlook.
Right.
Okay.
Conversely, Fry was talking about corn. We could hit a 182 and still be in pretty good shape, right?
Still be in pretty good shape. But that, if we would pull back a bushel and a half and take 120 million bushels off of the corn crop, and it's a 15 billion bushel corn crop. But if you take a 100 million, maybe even 120 million off of the corn crop estimate, then you have to look down at the demand side and say, where's the offset? Our export demand is coming in here pretty doggone good. Our feed and residual number, we got to wait for the quarterly grain stocks reports, but based on the number of animals that we're feeding, based on the average weight of those animals, and based on how many pounds of meat are being produced out there, you can't back off the feed and residual too far and then take a look at the ethanol side of things, the biofuel side. Margins have been really good, and our corn for ethanol crush should there. It should inch higher. I'm not saying that it's going to, you know, bolt higher, but we could add another 25 or 50 million bushels to that total use on the corn for ethanol side of things pretty easy here. So since you can't really make a lot of change, or I shouldn't have said can't, since it's harder to make those changes on the demand side of the corn balance sheet, anything that comes off the crop, I think probably – most of it's going to come off of carryover. So that's why I think the number on final corn production has more potential to influence price than a change in beans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Very good. I want to skip us over just a little bit to South America and mention a story that we had this morning, where the ag minister has advocated for Brazil to join China's Belt and Road Initiative. We have watched China woo Brazilians and South Americans. I guess you could probably include Argentina in there to a degree. If Brazil is going to hop on with the Belt and Road Initiative, you know, we talked with Carl yesterday. You're looking at, you know, there's the seasonality is Brazil harvest, U.S. harvest, and what do we do in between here? If China cozies up more closely to Brazil, this could be a very interesting and potentially damaging setup for the U.S. export market. Fair?
Very fair. Mm-hmm. And it's very much a continuation of the trend. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Very much a continuation of the trend. I mean, we've been giving up market share to Brazil in particular for quite some time, and that relationship between Russia and Brazil and China and India and South Africa, BRICS and BRICS Plus, you know, they're out there
expanding now.
they're out there trying to expand their footprint, and it is very much a challenge to the to what we've got going on. All right, National Weather Service, 6-10-day outlook, October 29th through November 2nd, above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt, 8 to 14-day above normal and above normal expected over the entire Corn Belt. That above normal is both temperatures and precipitation. So we'll see. We'll see if it's going to start to rain with a more consistent pattern. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon. Come back tomorrow morning. We've got Kevin Folta from University of Florida and Ethan Lane from NCBA.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which